Iford. let's just pray. Father God, thank you, even though we're few this morning, thank you that we can gather freely. Would you teach us, remind us of your love and your goodness? In Jesus' name, amen. Just a disclaimer, everything I'm going to share, like always, I'm journeying, so what I'm sharing is it's on my heart, and I'm preaching to myself just as much as you guys. I'm just inviting you in on that journey. We talk a lot, when I'm at college, we talk a lot about imposter syndrome, that, you know, you feel inadequate to being there, to learning what you're doing. And I kind of feel like that this morning. so just bear with me. Because there's so few of us this morning, I think we'll do it this way. I just wanted to think about names for a moment. I love names. I love the meaning of names. Does anybody know the meaning of their name? It can be, I don't know, what Teresa, go on. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Wow. You're not. No. Wow, smiling lady. Hey, wouldn't it be good if we went up to each other and says, hi, smiling lady. Hi, Harvester. Wow, anybody else?
Mine's Saintly.
Saintly. Cool, these amazing names. Hey. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, Joanna means, it's the same as John, and I think there's a few other ones. What does it mean? Gift of God. Yeah, it's a good one. this is looking at names is a tiny little bit of a thread what I'm going to share with in a bit. We're at college, there's five of us in my year, and my college is called the Light College, and every single one of us in our name in my year has got something, our names have something to do with light. So my middle name is Claire, which means bright or light. So all five of us have this thread. It's really interesting. I love the meaning of names. Does anybody know what the name Jesus means? No, it's good. It could be, but. Yeah. That's on the right lines, yeah. So the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation, or it can even mean like healer or physician. So yeah, just remember that the Lord is salvation. No matter what your names are, we are all children of God. So even if you have a weird meaning for your name, we are all children of God, and that's what God calls us. So we're going to look at John 1, verses 43 to 51. Before I read it, I'm just going to pad out a little bit of context for you. So we're in the Gospel of John right at the beginning. There is no birth story in the Gospel of John, only he mentions that the Word became flesh, which is Jesus. And then there's a bit about John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist paves the way for Jesus. He's making John the Baptist is a voice in the wilderness, and he proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the one to come. And then we see that Jesus calls his first disciples. So he calls James and John. So John is the author of the book of John, and there's a lot of Johns. John was the disciple of John the Baptist. And then Jesus calls Andrew and Peter. And then he calls Philip and Nathaniel. And it's here that we join the narrative. So I'm going to read it. I'm reading it from the NLT, so I don't know whether it's the same. But anyway, doesn't matter. So from verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you you had seen me under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." So there's a few things that I just want to draw out of this passage for us this morning that we can apply to us. The first thing is this, that the Lord knows you and the Lord sees you. There are a few parallels in this bit of scripture, which the clip that we watched from at the beginning, which was from The Chosen, it points out, it brings out. But there's one other thing that when I read this, I think of, which is the story of Hagar in Genesis 16. I'm not going to go into the story of Hagar because it's long. but basically, Hagar is the second wife to Abraham. She becomes pregnant. She runs away. An angel of the Lord finds her and prophesies over her and her unborn child and sends her back. And this is a profound moment for Hagar. And she calls the Lord the God who sees me. And then we see her again, we meet her again in Genesis 20, chapter 21, where she doesn't run away, but she's sent away. And it's a really difficult thing to read, actually. And she's sent away with just some water, basic things, into the wilderness. And obviously the water's gone, everything's gone, and she thinks she's going to die. She goes and leaves her son Ishmael under a bush because she cannot bear to watch her child die, and she takes some steps away and she just cries and weeps. And the Lord then appears to her once again and meets her in the wilderness. He speaks over her, emphasizing again the prophecy over her and Ishmael. God knew and saw Hagar and Ishmael. So in John 1, we have Nathanael. And at some point, Nathanael sits under a fig tree. We don't know anything about Nathanael. In the clip that we watched, they've put a story to him. He's an architect and things went wrong and he has a crisis moment under the fig tree. We don't know why he sat under a fig tree, but we know that he did. And there's this beautiful part of that clip where he cries out to God, "Do you see me?" And there is absolutely nothing. I don't know about you, but how many times has this happened where you are in that moment of despair And you just speak out and you cry out, do you see me? And there's absolutely nothing. The wind just keeps on blowing. The birds keep singing. There's absolutely nothing, no profound moment. There's just silence. But I love what Jesus says. I saw you under the fig tree. It was obviously a profound moment for Nathaniel. Whatever he was doing under the fig tree, whatever was going through his mind, Nathaniel's response was, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. It was so profound. And this is one thing I just really want us, that I feel maybe God wants to drum into our heads this morning, that the Lord knows you and he sees you. You might not be in a situation like Hagar. I keep wanting to call her Hagar. It's terrible. Hagar. You might not be in the same situation as her, Nathaniel, whatever your situation is. But the Lord knows you and he sees you. So in those moments of distress, in those moments of loneliness, which we all do find ourselves in, the Lord sees you. When you cry out, the Lord does hear. You know, some of us may have had words spoken over us, like prayed over us, scripture, prophecies like Hagar. But, you know, the Lord has not forgotten. And he knows and he sees you. And this brings me on to my second point. That you will see. So this focuses on the last part of that piece of scripture, verses 50 to 51. I'll read that quickly just to remind us. Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Then he said, I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. I just love that response. Because he's obviously speaking really clearly right into Nathaniel's heart. And the clip that we watched, it brought out that parallel between Nathaniel and Jacob, which if we read this, we kind of miss sometimes. But it's really beautiful. Jacob, so we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was born, he was a twin. He was the second twin. He came out the womb grasping his brother's heel. So the name Jacob literally means heel, or to grasp. Jacob was quite known for being a bit of a deceiver, along with a few other characters. Jacob deceived his brother, he deceived his father, and he was eventually deceived by his uncle as well. And there's this wonderful, very odd bit of scripture where Jacob wrestles with this man of God, or Jesus, we don't know. But Jacob would not let go. He would not let go. And so this man, I don't know, does something to his hip. And so Jacob's left with a limp forever as a reminder of this wrestle. But the Lord then and there renames Jacob as Israel. And this is where the first mention of Israel comes in. And the name Israel means to struggle with God, to wrestle. And that's how Israel kind of came about. So what does that have to do with Jesus and Nathanael? It's a couple of things. Firstly, quickly, just to go back to verse 47, where Jesus says, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." Perhaps Nathanael was having his own, if you like, wrestle with God under the fig tree earlier, we don't know. But Jesus knew Jacob, and Jesus knows Nathanael. And perhaps Jesus saw qualities in Nathanael that were in that of Jacob. There's perhaps a little banter going on here. Jesus did actually have a sense of humour. He's not all serious. Going back to this second point that you will see, Jesus responds to Nathanael that you will see greater things. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. So this is the other reference to Jacob. So in Genesis 28, Jacob has an amazing dream of a stairway that's from earth to heaven and angels going up and down. We call it Jacob's ladder these days. Any tall stairway, just call it Jacob's ladder. And Jacob calls that place, it's such a profound dream, Jacob calls that place the gateway to heaven or the house of God. So when Jesus says that you will see greater things, you will see the stairway of Jacob's dream. You will see these things. You will see the Son of God, the Savior, the stairway. That is Jesus. It's amazing. So we know that Jesus became the stairway, or that bridge, or that gateway. You know, what's so great is in the scripture in John chapter 2, it says the next day there was a wedding celebration and they got to see part of that coming true, the glimpse of Jesus and the stairways. It's wonderful. So the Lord knows you, the Lord sees you, and you will see. And so those dreams and those scriptures, those prophecies over your own life, you will see. But not just over you, we're reminded in scripture of what the Lord has said over his people for many, many years, thousands of years, over creation of humanity, those things. The Lord has never not fulfilled a promise. He will never not fulfill anything over you, and certainly nothing over his creation. It might be 1,000 years later, but he will do it. We're really short today, so I'm gonna end with a challenge. I'm calling it the Advent Challenge. So next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and we're approaching Christmas. And Christmas, Advent, is a time of anticipation. It's a time of preparation and reflection. And in that knowledge of the Lord that knows you and sees you, the challenge is here to fix your thoughts and your eyes on Jesus this Advent for the next 4 weeks. So the first thing is to meditate on the name of Jesus. So in light of your knowledge, meditate on the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard of breath prayers? Breath prayers? No? They're just really, really short prayers that you can breathe in and breathe out with. So the name Jesus. So you go, you breathe in on G and out on Zeus. So it becomes, your breath becomes a prayer. It's a really good way of just, you know, every day. You go, Jesus, you breathe in. You can, any short phrase you can really do. The God who knows you and sees you, see him and meditate on him. Reflect on his name. The Lord is salvation. Ask yourself, how has he shown his salvation to me? Focus on Jesus. You know, I love fairy lights. Fairy lights are not just for Christmas, guys. Just like Jesus. But, you know, Christmas is full of fairy lights, isn't it? Jesus came as the light of the world. Why not, whenever you see fairy lights, why not just think Jesus? Let that be a trigger. When you see the fairy lights, think Jesus, light, salvation. So that's the first thing, my first challenge, my first Advent challenge is to meditate on the name of Jesus in the knowledge that he knows you and he sees you. Acknowledge him and see him. My second challenge for us this morning is to pray for someone over Advent, or to pray for a particular situation, or it might even be a country. But to pray the name of Jesus over them, to pray that name of light and salvation over them, that their hearts might be softened towards Jesus, that they will know and they will see Jesus because they are themselves known and seen by Jesus. In this first chapter, Jesus is calling his disciples to him. But, you know, still today, Jesus is calling his disciples to him. Still today, we are disciples if you put your trust in Jesus. Oops, did something. So maybe we can end... I think maybe we'll end just a bit of silence, and for yourselves just to, maybe it's to think about and reflect on Jesus knowing you and seeing you. Maybe there's stuff going on. Maybe you're in that moment where you're just like crying out, come on, and there's silence. Just meditate on the name of Jesus, his salvation and light. And then perhaps there's somebody that you know who does not know the salvation of Jesus. Who you long for them to see Jesus. So perhaps now, just in your heart, just speak the name of Jesus over them. or perhaps it's a country, a people group. To speak the name of Jesus over them. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know us and that you see us. You see us in our struggles, in our worst moments. In our loneliness, in the times that we cry out, that you see us. Thank you, Lord God, that you see. You see everyone, that you know everyone, and you long for them to know you. That you became that stairway and that gateway for us. Thank you, Lord God, for your promises that you've spoken over us and your whole of your creation. And we trust that you will fulfill. In Jesus' name.